Okay. I think everybody does that. Is it on? That's fine. Okay, the feedback I'm going to have to get used to. And while my knees knock here, and that I'm going to greet you. Good morning, everybody. I just want to say to Mark, thank you for drawing me out of my comfort zone. Mark has on a couple of occasions challenged me and asked me to share or speak or whatever, and I've been quite good at that, and I've said no. And this last time, I just felt, you know, I actually have to respond, put my hand up, and step up to the plate. You know, I think I look at how God's worked with me in my life, how he's brought me up from a young boy in the church. He's brought me through. His hand's always been on me. His hand of protection has been on me, and it's undeniable. And, you know, I think I've warmed many church seats, and, you know, not much has come out, or not enough has come out. And, you know, God has blessed us to be in the church and to be taught by many people. But if we don't go and share that, you know, we don't generate any fruit in our lives. And, you know, today what I'd like to talk about is battling with the title for this. It's really about raising the bar. And it's very much around my experience, you know, how I've grown up, my life, everything in there, and actually not stepping up to the plate. Okay, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think many of us have grown up in Christian homes. Many of us have been watered and nurtured and done nothing with it. And, you know, God will talk to you personally as he's spoken to me in that. So the context for today's reading is I'd like to take it out of 1 Corinthians 3, and we're first going to read verses 1 to 3, and then we will read from verse 10 to 15. Make sure I don't miss stuff. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food. You were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not yet ready. And we drop down to verse 10. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it into light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. You know, I look at the parable of the sower and the seed, and I think we all know that parable really well. You know, it's maybe not this passage of scripture, but it goes on to talk about the seed. When the sower sows the seed, some of it falls on the path and it gets trampled, and the birds come and steal it. And you know, it goes through the seed that falls on rocky ground and falls amongst the thorns, and it gets snatched and it never takes root. But then there's the seed that falls on fertile soil, and it grows, and it grows into a harvest. And we often go through this teaching, and I think most of us have heard it many times. But you know, what happens once that seed has taken root? You know, the word that comes into our lives, what happens with the word? So we get excited about it, we get encouraged by it, and we do something with it. But you know, as time goes by, I think we sometimes start neglecting that field in our lives, and we don't tend to it, we don't water the seed, we don't do anything with it. And when I read through this passage of scripture, that first portion of 1 Corinthians 3 verses 12, it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. We are mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. And you know, and I underline that and I look at my life and say, am I ready for it? Because I think quite often that answer is no. You know, God's challenging me in this area. He's talking to me. You know, I'm getting concerned that I'm lukewarm. You know, that means we're going to get spat out somewhere along the line. You know, is my walk with God effective? Is it making a difference? I'm not going to answer that. You know, I look at my life and I ask myself some questions. It says, you know, what does my salvation really mean to me? What does your salvation mean to you? You know, I think it's a get out of jail free card. You know, and that's quite frightening. We're comfortable where we are at. We don't feel that there's a need to do anything else. I sometimes look at myself and I think, sheesh, I'm not storing up anything in heaven. I'm doing nothing. Nobody's life is changing because of me, but I've got my ticket. I'm ready to go. And that's not good enough. My salvation means I serve God on my own terms. And this is honest. I look at it. Sometimes I run away from church because I can't wait to see the next MotoGP race that's coming on. I don't watch rugby much, but I love motorcycle racing. I have a passion for it. You know, God was so good to me that when I was about just before I turned 16, the pastor of the church that I was in gave me my first motorcycle. And I love bikes. I love it. I can't get enough. Two strokes, four strokes. Big engines, small engines, whatever. If it's got two wheels and a motor bolted to it, I love it. And God's used that throughout my life to nurture me through in the kingdom. You know, he brought me through the Christian Motorcyclist Association so that as a young man, I would not be distracted by the world. And it worked extremely well. I had wonderful men and women who spoke into my life and fed me and nurtured me and brought me through a very vulnerable period in a young man's life. That's how much God cares about me, you know. I remember a couple of times riding pretty fast, and if it wasn't for him being in the car of the driver in front of me, I would have been dead. There were two times that I remember it very clearly. I was riding recklessly because it was fun. And God helped that driver avoid me. You know, and it's very, very clear, and I know that, and it happened quite close to each other, and I actually then decided to behave myself, and I've never broken a bone on a motorcycle, which is great. I actually don't have one at the moment, but that'll change. So it's fine. So, you know, when I look at my Christianity, God's walked with me my whole life, you know, but I have ADHD Christianity. Do you know what? Because you're walking along, then the next thing you're distracted, you know, squirrel, and off I go, and I chase the next best thing. You know, and sometimes it's things of God and sometimes it's not. You know, it might be that race that's coming on TV. There's one this afternoon. Should be a cracker. You know, but this is how my walk has been with God. I'm not stepping up to the plate. You know, I'm not honoring the kingdom as I should. And that's it. And yet, God has poured into me my whole life. I think I've heard all the sermons you can actually hear. You know, God's filled me with that. He's given me wisdom. He's given me knowledge. He's loved me. He's nurtured me. He's cared for me, and I've done nothing with it. And I think that's a very serious challenge. You know, when I look at my life, another question I ask myself is, what fruit is my life producing? What fruit is it producing, you know? And I've mulled this over, and in some cases, you know, I've brought up a wonderful family. You know, I love my children, I love my wife. I've been given some beautiful friends. They speak into my life, I speak into them. But what is that extra fruit? You know, do you know that the fruit is part of the harvest? He is the Lord of the harvest. You know, a harvest isn't like a bowl of fruit. You know, it's an abundance. And we're part of that. And that change has got to come, you know, in our lives. We've got to step up. We've got to make a difference. And that so that at the end of the day, we're producing. And unfortunately, our lives, we get into a rut where we actually stagnate, you know. And that field, we stop tending to. We don't water it. We don't prune what has been planted in our lives. And we neglect what God's called us to do. And, you know, that's a terrible place to be in, man. And Lord, I'm sorry. You know, because you've entrusted me, you've nurtured me, you've cared for me, and you've loved me. So I look at it and I say, you know, my past fruit in my life, I used to justify my walk with God. I'm okay. I did some things for people. And that, what about the new fruit? What about the next harvest? When are we going to reach out to the unsaved? Because, you know, in a lot of disobedience, we don't actually go out there and share the gospel. It's a fact. And I don't do that. And please, I'm being vulnerable with you. And I know I'm not alone in this thing. But, you know, I don't have a heart for the lost always. You know? And that's really terrible. And it's got to change. You know? When we don't have fruit in our lives, we stagnate. We're not productive. Nothing happens. And, you know, I'll use another racing term. On a motorcycle track, when they race, they talk about a racing line, which is a really good place to be, because on the racing line, when they're practicing and preparing for the racing, they lay rubber on the track. So the tires wear out, and they put rubber on the track. But that rubber actually makes it very sticky. So if you go off the racing line, it's like going onto marbles, and you can bounce off, you know, off the track or whatever, or you're going to lose speed and you're not going to win the race. And it's important to stay on the racing line. And as believers in our lives, we go off that racing line and we lose momentum in our lives and we become less effective and we fall back from the front runners and we're not there. And, you know, the Bible is quite interesting. If you read through it, it actually uses a couple of sports analogies. I think this is quite appropriate. Normally it's running, because I think they would have used bikes if it was back then, if they had bikes. But once we go off the racing line, once we go off the path that God wants us to be on, we go into a dangerous place. You know, quite often the guys don't fall, but when they fall, it's spectacular. You know, and we don't want to fall. All right. And it's important to stay on the racing line. And I believe that part of that is making sure that our lives produce fruit. And it's not difficult. Your calling is quite simply, do something. Don't do nothing. You know, if you're just coming to church on a Sunday morning and that, you're only going to get fed and you're not going to produce fruit. And I think that's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for me because I'm an expert in that particular area. And, you know, it's frightening me because I want to be a better Christian. You know, that's who I want to be. If I, you know, when I come to this church, God has put me in this church for a reason, because I can hear him. I want to be here. I want him to use me. I want to be effective for him. I don't come to church because it's a good thing to do. It's because I want to be here. You know? And it's very similar. There was a movie called As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson, and he's quite an awkward character. Some of you may know it. But, you know, it's a bit of a romance story and so on. And he tries to woo this young girl, Helen Hunt, and it just doesn't work, and he's the wrong person, and he's grumpy, and he's grouchy. And at the end, he's got one last bid to try and save this relationship that he's now realized he needs in his life. And very, very, very reluctantly, he goes up to her, and he stands there, and he goes, I gotta be with you because you make me want to be a better man. You know? And I feel the same. When I come into the church, I really, Lord, I want to be a better Christian. I want to serve you better. It's just, I keep getting in the way. You know, it's my agenda. It's what I'm doing. It's where I'm going. You know, and it's not where I need to be. You know, so the spiritual fruit that I'm producing is not always the best quality. It's not always the best. It's on my terms and it's at my time. You know, there's another thing that trips us up quite a bit as believers, and it's our patterns of sin. So I'm going to read from Romans 7. This is Paul's version of red lorry, yellow lorry. So try and say that very quickly. I think it's a bit of a tongue twister. So I'm just going to read from verse 18 to 19. This is the part where it goes about on doing as I do and I don't want to do, etc., etc. But it says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell within me, that is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." And I think this is a trap that we all fall into. It's not our intention. I think our hearts are pure. We want to be in that place where we're serving God effectively. We want to do what is right. We don't want sin in our lives. You know, we don't want these distractions that come our way. We want to be effective. But the sinful nature that's in us, it's there. It's a reality. It's not something that's fake. It's something that we have to wage war against within ourselves over and over. So the issue there is that it's these patterns of sin come and they continue to trip us up. And those are the things that bring condemnation in our lives. And it sets up a barrier between ourselves and the Lord that we don't start hearing from Him. If we do not address it, it can even separate us from the Lord. And I think if we sit back and reflect on our lives, if I do, I can see that condemnation, and it could come from outside, it could come from within or whatever, draws me away from where God needs me to be. And that we need to deal with patterns of sin. We need to deal with the things that bring condemnation. Because actually, there's no condemnation. We're free of that. You know? And we don't always take that and put that on. And we somehow manage to drift away from the Lord. So let's deal with those patterns of sin. They're like a stronghold in our lives. And the once I heard an analogy of somebody who sold a house, and the person that sold the house said to the buyer, you know what, you can have this house and it's a really good price, it's a bargain. So the buyer was very, very keen. But he says on one condition, he says, I would like to leave a nail in the wall at the front door. And the guy thought, Jesus, price is so good, it's a beautiful home, why not? So he agrees to it, signs the house, takes delivery, moves in and carries on. And after some time, this person now owns this nail. He comes home one day and on this nail is a hat hanging there. And it's quite an ugly hat, you know, but it's not too bad. It's his thing. I love the house, and that's what it is. And this goes on. And every couple of days he comes home, something else is hanging on this thing. And, you know, sometimes it's quite ugly things, you know, and it's not pleasant. And eventually one day he comes home and there's a dead donkey hanging on the nail. And, you know, this is like an illustration of how we play with the devil. You know, we have this life, but we'll leave that little nail in the wall. That's a stronghold in our life. And we know what those are. Those are those little things that trip us up in our walk. And it has a pattern. The same things trip us up over and over. We're good people. We do what is right. We love the Lord. But those patterns repeat in our lives. And it's that nail that we have on the wall where Satan's allowed to come. That donkey will eventually start stinking and it'll destroy the whole house. And we don't want that in our lives. So we need to deal with those strongholds. And I can see sometimes when we fall into that sin, we go, oh no, not again. We really do. But if we don't go, oh no, what again, we start getting too comfortable with it. And that cycle repeats itself over and over and over and over and over again. And it separates us from God. And that's not a place we want to be in. And I don't want to be in that place. So, and sometimes we find pleasure in our sins. Sin's lekker. Well, it can be lekker. But there's destruction. We know sin separates us from God. That's it. That's actually death, if you're separated from God. We sang earlier about 10,000 years we'll be able to praise Him. Wow, fantastic. Pure praise and worship where we can never be separated from God. I need to finish this race strong and people need to go with me. That's it. Another area I challenge myself in is, do I fear God? And a couple of years ago, I decided, you know, I've heard about the fear of God, I'll go and research it because I can't mean be scared of Him. And actually, when I finished studying that on my own, that's actually the conclusion. I need to fear God. Why? Do I take judgment seriously in my life? If God comes to judge me or judge others, I'll be separated from Him if I stay in the condition that I'm in. And I don't want that. Do I fear God? And the answer is probably not. Not enough. I want to, but probably not enough. If we have a look at the patterns that repeat in our lives of sin, are we prepared to repent? This is part of that get out of jail free card. We can repent, but we don't repent often enough. You know, I can fall today, I can repent today, and I can be restored to God. It's that simple. You know? And I don't take repentance seriously enough. How do I feel about the unsaved? Do I have a heart for them? Do I actually care? If I'm raw, if I'm honest. Sometimes the answer is no. You know, I have a good friend of mine. He's German and quite a difficult character, but he's a good person. And it's hard to reach him because he's so close, because he's a good person. He's the most amazing, caring guy. He's got all the attributes to be a believer, but do I have the courage to go and confront him? Do I care? And sometimes that answer is no. And I think that grieves God's heart. What about the other people that come across our paths? You know, and these are the real things in the kingdom, and I think that's why we as the church stall, because we don't really believe these things, or we're comfortable where we are. I mean, Mark, you've pushed me out of my comfort zone this morning. You know, I'm not a natural public speaker. I'm a reluctant leader. I like my comfortable place. I enjoy my MotoGP on a Sunday. You know, but I can't stay there. You know, I have to step up to the plate. I need fruit in my life. I need to make a difference in the kingdom. Why? Because I want to be a better believer. So how can I do that? All right, if I look at my life, I have to dismantle the strongholds in my life, deal with them, confront those things that continually trip me up. And normally they're me that's in there. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to show me the triggers of those things in my life so I can deal with it. What are those things that separate me from God? How do I stay away from it? And I can tell you, it's me. I'm the guy that's in the way. It's my choices. And that's what I need to focus on. Lord, help me dismantle that stronghold. All right, stop feeding those carnal desires of sin. Stop finding excuses not to do things in the church. You know, a number of years ago, we had the privilege as a couple to lead a home group. And it was probably, in my Christian walk, a pinnacle of how God moved and how people were drawn in and how strong those friendships have become and still are. There's a couple of people here today that can testify to that. And that's the fruit of it. But that's actually past fruit in the kingdom. What's happening today in my life? I don't have that same kind of fruit. And that needs to change. All right, we need to step up to the plate. That means, like today, saying, Mark, I will do it. Let me be obedient. Let me do it. What are those things in your life that God's putting his finger on and saying, just step up, get involved. Be where God wants you to be. Do you know that when you get involved in the kingdom of God, those strongholds start to fade? They don't want to be there because you're focused. God's working with you because you know, hang on, I'm focused here. Lord, I've got to do this thing that you've called me to do. I've got to prepare for, let's say, children's ministry. We hear this morning there's a need. And that. And you'll focus on that because you don't want to do it in your own strength. You need God's anointing to come into your life. You need God to be poured into you. And when you start doing the things that he's called you to do, sin has to flee. It will make it easier to resist the sin because I think we will understand that that is not pleasing to God. If I think I can carry on sitting on the chair and warming the seat on a Sunday morning, I think I'm going to be making a mistake in my life. I think my life will be very unfruitful, and I think those strongholds that are on me are going to still ensnare me and hold me back. And I don't want that. Lord, set me free from that. Step up to the plate. Stop being a spectator. Spectator Christianity, I'm an expert. Seriously, you watch around and see what's going on. And that's a good thing. Lekker. but I do nothing. We can't be spectators. Step into the flow of what God is doing in our lives. You know, we often see in the word that the analogy of a river flowing in the kingdom, you know, you got to jump in. It's a river. It flows strong. You can't stand in the pools or get your ankles in it. You know, you're not in the flow of things. If you want to flow in what God is doing in this church, you have to get involved. Attend something. Go. If it's the prayer meeting, if it's getting involved in the band to minister, whatever that gift God has given you, do it. He will bless you and He will use you to make a difference. We don't realize the influence we have in people's lives. You think, oh, poor me. I'm just like this. You know, I'm not a public speaker. I'm not like this. Oh, I'm not like Mark. I'm not like, you know, like Donovan. I'm not like this one. I'm useless. And our self-esteem gets in the way. Don't let it. God has made you the way He wants you to be. Because you can reach somebody that Mark can't. You are fine the way you are. You might not be a strong personality. You might not be domineering. You might not be forceful. God will use you the way He's intended you to be used in His kingdom. And you'll make a difference. And you'll be excited. And you'll get on fire. When you step up to the plate and you're obedient to what God is doing, it's hard. Expect Satan to come and knock you down. He doesn't want you to get there. He will knock you off course because he knows if you get there, he's in trouble. You know, I just see those things, you know. I want to be at the prayer meeting on a Wednesday evening. The latest trick that he sent my way is traffic. I get in the car and I leave the office. I come from four ways through. Get on the highway and the traffic just stops. And by the time you get here, prayer meeting is well underway. You know, and that's a new trick that he's done. So do you know what I did? I left earlier. Do you know why? Because God's opened a door for me to run my own business in just over a year now. And I can choose to do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can choose to leave work early to get you out to prayer meeting on time. Hallelujah. And these little snares come, and Satan sets it up. You know, it also used to be I'd work late. I used to be in a very, very pressurized corporate job. And the nights that something's on, that's when it goes wrong, and I have to attend to it. And eventually it draws you out of the kingdom, and you run out of momentum, and you run out of steam, and you stop listening to God, what He's wanting you to do. And what a fantastic trick. It's so effective. And a lot of us fall into that space. You know, I think we just need to identify what those things are. What are those stumbling blocks that He sends our way? And trust God for a solution for it. Because sometimes it'll be something out of your control that you can't. Work, I couldn't control the work thing. It just happened. And I had to attend to it. But these are the things in our lives that we need to sort out. And the funny thing is they're actually small issues. These things that come along. It just knocks us off course a little bit. And before we know it, we're dirt tracking down there. We've run off the racing line. We've gone onto the marbles. And now we're off the track and we hit the barrier. Whew, Satan's won. And that happens in our life. He's wanting to derail us. And Lord, help me. Help me in that area. And this is going a bit quicker than I was expecting. So it's good because normally I can speak quite a lot. I was a bit concerned about time. I believe another very important aspect of serving God is where are we getting our input from? Okay. Who is speaking into our lives? And that. Now I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14. And Paul says, I'm writing this to you, not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate. That's a very, very powerful piece of scripture. You know, when you have a look at that and sit and meditate on it, I believe that what God is instructing us to do is to make sure that we identify those fathers in the church that can shepherd and guide us and speak into our lives. But, you know, they need to have those characters of being a father. You know, somebody who cares, somebody who nurtures, somebody who leads by example. He does what he says he's doing. And, you know, I look around this church here and I'm amazed at how many of those people actually exist. And by fathers, you can also intimate mothers. Mothers are also there. There's some great ladies here. I mean, I can see people in this room that have been around since I was a child. It's amazing. Amazing. And look how they're serving God today. It's fantastic. Those are people that can flow into your life. And what it will do is it'll make you effective because they will challenge you. They will talk to you. If you do not have somebody like that in your life, get one. I've got to get one. And thank you, Lord, you've shown me who it is. And he frightens the living daylights out of me. He really does. He walks the walk, talks the talk, and somebody who puts things into action. And that's somebody that I need now. It depends where we are in our Christian walk as to who needs to talk into our lives. That's also quite important. You know, if you're a young Christian, you need something else to what I'm going to need. I mean, I'm a seasoned Christian. I think I've been saved for about 40 odd years. I've been saved since I was a child. And that, you know, there's people here that might be older than me, but have probably only been saved 3 or 4 years. And they're needing to deal with other things, and they're needing people to guide and lead them in the basics of the word. But I've actually been around the block quite a few times. I'm an old hat at it. So I need a special person to take me up to the next level. And that's going to happen. And I think with encouraging everybody, find that spiritual person to pour into your life. Trust God to make sure it's the right person. And sometimes God puts people in your life for a season only. Be sensitive to that. Because sometimes that person may reach that point where they can take you and they need to pass the baton to somebody else in your life. If you want to have an effective life with Jesus, you have to step up to the plate. You have to be prepared to sacrifice of yourself. You have to let Donovan get out of the way so that God can do something mighty. You know, in my life, there's a massive spring in my life, but it's blocked. And I'm the blockage. I'm sitting in the way of that. God can use me today to make a difference in the kingdom of heaven forever so that I can have fruit in my life. If we go back to that scripture that I read in the beginning, so if we go back to 1 Corinthians, make sure I get the right place, 3, you know, from verse 14, let me make sure I do that properly. I'll actually go from with verse 13. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. You know, isn't that encouraging? That's the space I want to be in. You know, when I leave this place and I get to heaven, I want to have left a deposit on this earth that will make a difference for the kingdom. I don't want it only to be in my children and in my family. I want it to be in my church. I want it to be in my nation. I need to make sure when the fire comes that it's not burnt up. Because if I carry on the trajectory that I'm on, I don't know how much it will actually be left. Because if you build it out of wood and straw, it's going to be consumed when the fire comes. So my prayer for me is that, Lord, please use me. Lord, please help me get out of the way. You know, I've got so much teaching in me that when that I get removed out of the way, I don't know what's going to happen. It's there. That pattern is set for God to work through me. I should instinctively know what to do in that thing. I want to flow in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do things in my own strength. And I think that's a prayer that I have for my life, you know, and it's very simple. Be still and know that I am God. It's actually not about me so much. I just need to avail myself. The power, if you need to pray for somebody, is not coming from you. Do what God has told you to do. And let Him finish that work. And sometimes God tells you to do something and you think that the end result's going to be X, but actually in his mind it's actually Y. And you might not realize it. And sometimes you're going to be just building on the foundation that somebody else has prepared. So you adding to it, and then you'll move away and somebody else will come and finish that work. Or a couple of other people will come. We have a role to play in this kingdom of heaven. So for me, if I look at it, God's telling me to raise the bar in my own life. Not to be a church pew Christian. Lord, please use me. And that frightens the living daylights out of me because it's going to come at a price. And I don't know how people will react around me. I don't know how my wife will react. I don't know how my children will react. I don't know how my family will react. But Lord, please use me so that, Lord, I can have those friendships like those friendships that were established in the home group many years ago. I want more of that, Lord, because we made a difference in those people's lives. And they're the most amazing people. They're fantastic. And they pour into our lives now. And that's the blessing of God. And, you know, when we step up to the plate, God's going to encourage us. He's going to build us. He's going to strengthen our faith. So that when those big things that come along that we need to do, we will have faith for them and we will be effective in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Cool. Oliver, thank you. Let's give a hand of praise to God. I know this was very challenging for Don, but we've all been challenged. And I think we need to respond to God out of this message. He's spoken from his heart, and I think where God's taking this church and the church in for the outpouring of his Spirit, we all need to step up to the plate. Now, if God spoke to you today, and you want to repent, I say that word clearly, you want to repent and change your ways, you want to deal with your strongholds and your distractions, and you want to be used by God, you might say, well, Lord, I haven't got the time. No, give your time to God. And just say, Lord, I'm available. That's what Isaiah 6 says. Here I am, Lord, use me. If that's you today, I want you to stand up, not because of me and not because of church in the way, because you want to finish this race. Donovan spoke about reward. There's a doctrine of inheritance. We have a reward for what we do in Christ. And if you want to put your hand up and say, Lord, I want to do everything that you want me to do, and make myself available. I want you to stand up and come to the front. This is not an altar call. Come to the front. Lord, I want to be used by you. And I want to say, Lord, I maybe missed the mark, but I want to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. That's wonderful. I'm standing here to myself because we never arrive. Amen. That's wonderful. God sees your hearts, and there's no condemnation in any way. Father, in the prayer meeting this morning, Thora spoke about an army. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. These are your children. And we just, as we raise our hands to you, Lord, we come in humility before you. And Father, we bring our lives again. This is not salvation, but this is to say, Lord, we want to work out our salvation to bring glory to you. And Lord, we've stepped back and we've followed our own desires and we've got caught up and even ensnared in this world and where the devil maybe even led us down the wrong path. Today it's changing. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, as they've made a decision to follow you and to be obedient to you today. I pray, Lord, that lives would change, that the cost would be counted, and there'd be truly a change, not just a commitment here today before you, but truly that lives would change to serve you and to be obedient to you, what you're telling them to do, not just through the life of the church, but in their family, in their workplace, everything that you've destined them to do, that, Lord, they will fulfill your plan and your purposes. So, Father, as you see the hearts that are surrendered to you now, I commit your children to you, and, Lord, I ask, will you take these wonderful people, your children, Lord, and will you use them to bring glory to your name? Use them powerfully, Lord. The gifting that is upon them and in them, will you release through them. The fruitfulness that, Lord, that you've declared over us, they will bear much fruit in this season, Lord, fruit that will last and bring glory to you. So take them, Lord, by the hand. Lead them into the fullness that you have for them. And Lord, will you inspire them for the purposes that you have, and whether it's leading a life group, whether it's leading a prayer group, whether it's to go to the streets, whether it's to feed the poor, to give their skills in whatever means, Lord, in who they are, Lord, will you use them powerfully now in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, I ask you, will you remind them when they step back again? Will you remind them what the decision they made here on the 25th of June, 2017, because this, Lord, is a sense an oath, like a covenant. Here I am, Lord, use me. May this be a powerful moment in everyone's lives here that have put their hands up to you, Lord, and responded to you now. Thank you for this message, Lord. May we all be stirred to continue to serve you fully and to do everything you desire of us. Thank you for this great opportunity, Lord, to love you and to serve you and to fulfill all that you've called us to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you, Don. You stirred our hearts. Now hear what you said to the God today. And remember, there's tea and coffee afterwards here. And those that are new amongst us, please come and join us for cappuccino. Don't run away. And leaders, remember, we have a leaders meeting. Thank you.